Thank you, Father, for bringing us here to this meeting today. It was going to be a very good meeting, Jesus. Thank you for a good night's sleep. We all slept very well and we woke up safely, Jesus. To wake up safely in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, as we do this meeting, we do it in your heart. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Prayers. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much, Mr. Brown. Thank you so much, Mr. Brown. Really appreciate it. Thank you for taking the open prayer. So grateful to God too for the benefit of having you joining along with all of the other parents that are joining in today. My name is Tony Nathaniel. I serve at Kids Inspiring, one of the coaches, and with me today are two other coaches, Coach Abekomi and Coach Olubumi. So you would hear from them during this presentation. Now, for some of our parents that are still joining us, I think it's important to just stress again what we intend to achieve. Psalm 82, verse 6. Psalm 82, verse 6. It says, "Ye are God. Ye are gods. And all of you are children of the Most High. Ye are gods. And all of you are children of the Most High." Ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. For us at Kids Inspiring, we literally take that statement as it is. You are gods. So we're not ashamed to tell every child that God brings away to say, "You are a God. You are a God." And we ensure that when they introduce themselves, they say, "My name is God this." So for Mr. Brian that spoke this morning, I would get to him naturally. God, Brian. That's what I would refer to him as. Naturally, God, Brian. Why is that? Mr. Brian is born to the family of Mr. and Mrs. Undukwe. So when he's introducing himself, he says, "My name is Brian Undukwe Michael Kanu." You don't tell him, "Oh no, you're not Undukwe Michael Kanu." He will tell you, "The person that gave birth to me is my father and my mom. So I am Brian, my Undukwe." Now, the greatest birth in the world was the birth, or is the birth of salvation. He says, "If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation," in brackets, "a God." If any child is in Christ, he is a new creation, in brackets, a God. If any child is in Christ, he is a new creation, in brackets, a God. So that is the reason we call them gods, because the scripture says, "Ye are gods." So parents, don't ever feel it's blasphemy to call them gods. You know, because the Bible says, "Calling those things that be not as though they were." And if you were here last week, I spoke to us about Daniel. I am so enthralled about Daniel. And you know, Daniel was actually called a god. I will show you this. It says, Daniel chapter 5, verse 12, "For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding and interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubt were found in this same Daniel. Now, that was what Daniel was referred to. But if you now look at it from Daniel chapter 5 verse 11, just a verse before that. He said, there is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods. Now look at this. It was said by people that did not know God. So they referred to the level of operational, the dimensional abilities of Daniel as the wisdom of the holy gods. He said he had the spirit of God, of the holy gods, and the wisdom of the gods. The spirit and the wisdom. 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 But God had called us gods. So you see, if you really understand this, every young child on earth that knows God is equivalent to any other god named on earth. I mean, from a traditional perspective, you hear of Sango, you hear of Amadioha, you hear of all of those gods that they are so-called. Every one child is greater than that. Is greater than that. So please, what gives them that ability, that wisdom, is the spirit of God in them. The spirit of God, the wisdom of God. The spirit of God and the wisdom of God. That's why we are not ashamed to call them gods. That's why we're not. And you see, every time you are calling them gods, you are speaking the spirit of God on them. When you are calling them gods, you are speaking the wisdom of God on them. I've had testimonies, I mean, breathtaking testimonies over this past week of how young children come in. And then one of our parents shared with me yesterday that the son would rather not wake up like he used to. But since he assumed this responsibility as a god, he will be the one waking up and taking such dimensions of responsibility. And then you begin to say, is this my son? So please, that's the reason why we call them gods. Because they have the spirit and the wisdom of God. And when you see them not behaving as gods, you just look at them and say, remember, you're a god. That thing works like it works like fire. Remember, you are a god. Remember, you are a god. Remember, you are a god. And for them, we have what we call the God anthem. The God anthem. I could drop it on the platform afterwards. It's a very simple thing. It says, God gives me knowledge and skills in all learning and wisdom. God gives me knowledge and skills in all learning and wisdom. I have light, understanding, and an excellent spirit. I have light, understanding, and an excellent spirit. My spirit man shows hard sentences, dissolves doubt, and interprets the unseen. My spirit man shows hard sentences, dissolves doubt, and interprets the unseen. My name is God. You put your name. My name is God, Brian. My name is God, Brian. And I have the spirit and the wisdom of the only God. My name is God, Brian. My name is God, David. My name is God, Jessica. And I have the spirit and the wisdom of the only God. I'll say, take it again as one full verse. God gives me knowledge and skills in all learning and wisdom. I have light, understanding, and an excellent spirit. My spirit man shows at sentences, dissolves doubts, and interprets the unseen. My name is God, Brian, and I have the spirit and the wisdom of only God. God gives me knowledge and skills in all learning and wisdom. I have light, understanding, and an excellent spirit. My spirit man shows hard sentences, dissolves doubt, and interprets the unseen. My name is God, Brian, and I have the spirit and the wisdom of the only God. So they are supposed to know that, and we ask them to say it every morning, every evening, repeatedly until it becomes a part of them. So that's the clarification behind calling them gods. That's the clarification behind calling them gods. We are not ashamed to call them gods because Jesus Christ is the God of all the earth. So he's the one they represent on earth. They are executing his will, his ways, and his works on earth. In exactly 5 minutes, I'm going to pass it on to my other colleague, Coach Adekomi. Last week and the week before, he spoke to us variously about dimensions of teaching young children concepts, precepts in God's word. And I want to point to something. He mentioned something last week, which was a research done. And talks about Psalm 119. If you go to Psalm 119, Psalm 119 is divided into 8 sections of 22 sections of 8 verses apiece. Now, one thing I discovered about Psalm 119 is this. Very, very simple, but you had to go and research on it to see it. Every verse in Psalm 119 has one of the various, I think he called it wisdom last week, various dimensions of God's wisdom, if you call it. So you have things like laws, precepts, statutes, commandments, testimonies, judgments. I counted them and I discovered there are 199 of them in a 176 verse Psalm 119. 199. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation day and night. Thy through thy commandment has made me wiser than my enemies. I have more understanding than all my teachers, because thy testimonies are my meditation's testimonies. I understand more than the ancient, because I have kept thy precepts. Thy precepts, thy testimonies also are my delights, thy testimonies. My soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. So that's the reason why we encourage that the first point of call for our children is Psalm 119, because in that 176 verse scripture, they will have said the word of God, the law, thy judgment, thy precept, thy commandment, thy law. Variations of those things 199 times. What happens for them, which is what happens to me, is at this stage of our life where the world is going berserk, the precepts, the laws, the judgments, the commandment, the testimonies of the Lord keeps them. That's the reason why we ask that they start with Psalm 119. And you know, the moment they're able to get a hang of it, the word of God becomes to them a daily delight. A daily delight. So that's the reason why we enforce it, especially if we're going to have them going into kids inspiring, that they start with Psalm 119. Yeah, quite difficult, but not impossible. And the moment that gets into them, then naturally they just begin to flow in that dimension of loving God's word, loving his precepts, loving his commandments, loving his testimonies, loving his judgments. You know what he also said about Psalm 19? I don't know, for some of us that were there, very apt. He says, the law of the Lord, perfect, converting the soul. That's the first one, the law. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the same. Second one, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The third one, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the heart. Fourth, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Fifth one, the judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So in that verse 7, 8, and 9, you have about five of those seven things which are just variations of the wisdom of God being spoken. So please, parents, we will never, ever, ever give up on raising them as gods. Being gods means they have the word of God deeply in them. Deeply. It just is a speaking force. It just speaks. Please, we're about to start the session for the day that will be taken by my colleague, Coach Adekomi. It's going to take the next 40 minutes just teaching us about some of the dimensions of wisdom God has enabled him. I would ask that if you have questions, you please keep it to the end of the program. So we'll have a 5 minutes, 10 minutes opportunity to get to answer those questions. And then if there are questions we can't answer, please just go back to the WhatsApp group, drop the questions, and then it will take our time to answer them. But I also ask you do something for me now. In exactly 10 minutes, this recording will be over. So I would ask in exactly 10 minutes that you please all step out and step in again, because we have a 14 minutes time frame on Zoom. In exactly 10 minutes, so that by 9:25. So by 9:25, I will please interrupt him a minute before that and ask that we all step out and come in again, just the way you came in, because we have a 40 minutes time limit and we've done 10 minutes. All right, Coach Adekomi, good morning, sir. The floor is up for you.
Okay, good morning, everybody.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, I can see you, Mr. Kalu. I can see you, Mr. Akpan. God bless you. I can see you, Adeniran Oyesomi. God bless you all. Now, we're going to have an explosive session. Come on. We're going to have an explosive session. I can assure you of that. But I want us to learn today, how reading can become enjoyable. How your children can enjoy reading. They can begin to enjoy reading. I'm going to share my testimony with you. Right now, I enjoy reading. I love reading so much. I read up to 500 books every year. But guess what? At the beginning, it was not like that at all. I didn't enjoy reading. So I want to show us how our children can begin to enjoy reading and how they can become very, very good and proficient in reading, assimilation, and all that. So we're going to start off like this. There's a particular reading habit, very bad habit, called fixation. It means that a child is looking at his book, but his mind is somewhere else. And so he's looking at his book, but he's not reading. So your child can be in a library for 2 hours and he's just looking at the book from, you know, but he's not reading. So in 2 hours, he's not really reading. It's a bad reading habit called fixation. So this morning, we're going to destroy fixation. At the end of this session, our children will never suffer from fixation again. Fixation ends as this meeting ends. It ends. So how do we stay away from fixation? Very simple. The Lord taught me this secret many years ago, and I'll give it to you right on time now. It's called this secret that the Lord taught me on how to read and understand is called write as you read, recall as you read, and recite as you read. Now I'm going to take it one more time. Children, I need you to listen to me. I need you to be attentive to this. And we're going to enjoy this session. It's going to be a life-changing session. Do you understand? So let's go. Let's make it happen now. Let's go. Write as you read. Recall as you read. And recite as you read. I'm going to take it one more time for the last time. Write as you read. Recall as you read. And recite as you read. Now, this destroys what I call fixation. Now, let's go on. Let's start from the first one. Write as you read. Now, when you write as you read, you are engaging your body. When you recall as you read, you are engaging your soul. When you recite as you read, you are engaging your spirit. I'll take it one more time. When you write as you read, you are engaging your body. When you recall as you read, you are engaging your soul. When you recite as you read, you are engaging your spirit. So when you apply this method, this was the method the Holy Spirit taught me. So when you engage this method, you are engaging your body, soul, and spirit. You are engaging your body, soul, and your spirit. Now, so I'm going deeper now. So let's start from the first one, write as you read. So you are reading, but you are making sure that you engage your body. So whenever, as you are reading, you are writing down the key points or the key words. You write down the key points or the key words in what you are writing. Let's say you are studying biology or physics or government, any of those your subjects that you do in class. You are writing the key points as you are reading so that you don't lose attention easily. You don't lose concentration easily. I'm going to teach you how to read 250 words per minute. Children, I'm going to teach you how to read 250 words per minute. Now, I learned this secret from the Guinness Book of World Records fastest reader. His name is Howard Berg. He's the Guinness Book of World Records fastest reader in the world. And I learned some secrets from him. So I'm going to teach you that, how to read 250 words per minute. But before that, let's look at this. Writing as you read. I'm not saying that you have to write everything you are reading as you are reading, but from time to time, make sure you're always writing. You are engaging your body as you're writing. So it's difficult for you to lose attention easily. Now, the next thing is this. The next thing is this. When you are reading, after a while, recall as you read. What do I mean? Let's say you are reading about photosynthesis. Photosynthesis. Yeah, just an example. And you have read two paragraphs. You have read what? How many paragraphs? Just two paragraphs. Very good. Close your book. Close your book. Take a fresh sheet of paper and try to recall what you have read. Try to recall what you have read. You may not be perfect. You may not be perfect in everything. You may not be perfect in everything. But I bet you, as you recall, you are not losing concentration. And you are strengthening what we call retentive memory. You are strengthening your ability to recall. You are strengthening your ability to recall. So take a fresh sheet and write as you read for 10 minutes. Recall for 10 minutes and try to recite for 10 minutes. Yeah? I'll take it one more time. As you are reading, you can say, okay, you have recited. But I'll come to that other part later. Now, we are talking about recalling. So trying to recall what you have read. Trying to recall the things that you have read. Let me give you an example. I want to give you an example of how I read. I write as I read, and then I try to recall everything that I have read. Let's use the Virtuous Woman, for example. The Virtuous Woman. When I wanted to read about the Virtuous Woman, I was writing as I was reading. So the Bible says concerning the Virtuous Woman that she seeketh wool and flax. She worketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She considers a field and buys it, and with the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She gathereth her loins with strength. She strengthened her arms. She perceived that her merchandise is good. Her candle does not go out by night. How can I remember it like this? Because I was writing down the key points as I was reading. Then after a while, I closed the book and I tried to remember what were some of the things that I wrote down. Then I was making mistakes, but it didn't matter to me. Every time I made a mistake, I went back again to see where I made a mistake. Where did I make a mistake? Then as I continued, you see, repetition is genius. Parents and children, repetition is genius. The reason why Michael Jordan is a genius in basketball was that he repeated free throws every time. He would do 1,500 free throws. He would do 2,000 free throws. Repetition is genius. Repetition is genius. Everybody can be a genius if you understand that repetition is genius. So when you recall as you read, you make a mistake, you continue, don't worry, you go back, write again as you read, and then you recall again. And then I want to go to the third part. The third part is reciting as you read. Reciting as you read, you engage your spirit. What do I mean by this? You should read until you can teach yourself. You can school yourself on it. If somebody wakes me up and says, "Kwame, preach a message on any topic in the Bible," I can do it because I have trained myself to recite as I'm reading. So I'm acting like I don't have to even recite vocally, like anybody can hear me. I do as if until you can teach somebody a thing you don't understand. So I sometimes when I'm brushing my teeth, or when I'm taking a walk, in my mind I'm gesticulating as if I'm teaching on what I've read. So you can recite, you can even practically act it out as if you are trying to teach somebody what you have read, and say it without looking at anything, say it offhand. So by engaging in that, you have done what? You have written as you were reading, you have recalled as you were reading, you have recited as you were reading. If you do this, you will engage your body, soul, and spirit, and you find out that you are not losing concentration easily. You are not a victim of fixation. You are not losing your attention easily. That's one good secret as regards how to read effectively. Now, the second thing I want to talk about is this chunking as you read. Some people try to read for 2 hours at a stretch, and then after 20 minutes, they are tired. And it's not very wise. You can chunk as you read. So you can read for 20 minutes, then try to recall for another 20 minutes, recite for another 20 minutes, and then go back again and start the process again. That way it's easier. Have you noticed that when we are doing a night vigil, some people try to pray for 4 hours at a stretch, that after 20 minutes, they get tired. But when you do prayer night vigil, you do 20 minutes of prayer, 20 minutes of praise and worship, do 20 minutes of prayer again, 20 minutes of praise and worship, do 20 minutes of Bible study, go again and do another 20 minutes of prayer, 20 minutes of praise and worship, 20 minutes of prayer, 20 minutes of praise and worship. It's easier to flow like that. So if your child is having any problem with reading and enjoying reading, tell your child to maybe consider embracing chunking. That is, you read in chunks. Then you can also read, and then sometimes take a 5 minute break. Take 5 minutes and just walk around or play around, then come back. It doesn't make everything appear boring again. Take 5 minutes and come back. You can even take 5 minutes and play a game that you like. Relax your brain and then come back. Relax your brain and then come back. So chunking as you read. Now, I want to talk about pacing. Pacing as you read. Now, this is how you can read 250 words in a minute. This is how you can read 250 words in a minute. Now, I want you to look at me very well, everybody. I want you to look at me because I'm going to show you something now. Everybody, I hope you can watch me. I'm on video now. Pacing as you read means that you take a pacer. A pacer could be a biro, a pencil, or your fingers. And as you are reading, you are pacing like this. You are going from one line to another. You are going from one line to another. You are going from one line to another. If you pace as you read, the fact that you are using a biro or a pencil or your fingers to go through that will get you more involved in what you are reading. And with that, you can read up to 250 words in a minute. That means in 10 minutes, you can read even 10 times more. But as you are pacing, it prevents you from losing your focus and attention, or your mind gets carried away. You are not thinking of football, or you are thinking of one girl, or you are thinking of one party, or you are thinking of something else and something else. You understand? So pacing as you read is very good. Pacing as you read is very good. I want us to go to the. I want to refer you to Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8. Parents, it says, and they read in the book of the law of God distinctly. Distinctly. The way you read determines the way you understand. So use a pacer when you are reading. That's if your child doesn't have problems with fixation, your child doesn't have to bother with, may not have to bother with all this. But if your child is a child that is struggling with reading, does not enjoy reading, then he may need to start bringing in some of these things. So that's it. Then I want to talk also about using codes as you read will help you to understand and get what you're reading better. Using codes as you read, what do I mean? I wanted to know all the 12 names of the sons of Jacob. I use a code. The 12 names are: number one, you have Reuben; you have Simeon. Two, number three, you have Levi; number four, you have Judah; number five, you have Zebulun; number six, you have Issachar; number seven, you have Dan; then number eight, you have Gad; number nine, you have Asher; number 10, you have Naphtali; number 11, you have Joseph; and number 12, you have Benjamin. How was I able to remember the 12 names of the sons of Israel or sons of Jacob? Simple. I used a code, and that's why I can tell you now offhand easily. I can talk about Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah. I can talk about Zebulun, Issachar, Dan, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, and I can talk about Joseph and Benjamin, because I used a code. So I used a code called Zidgan. But before Zidgan, you have four people. You have Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. So that one, I remember that one by myself with a code called RSLJ. But now Zidgan is a code for Zebulun, Issachar, Dan, Gad, Asher, and Naphtali. Zidgan. And then, of course, it's very easy to remember Joseph and Benjamin. So that's how I remember things in the Bible that have a lot of names. So I can remember 20 names in the Bible offhand by using codes. Yeah? So if you want to remember easily, remember the names of all the disciples of Jesus, from Bartholomew to the two Judases and so on and so forth, to Andrew and so forth. Use a code. Codes are very good. Yeah? Codes are very good. It will help you to remember better. So that is as regards that. Now, I want to talk about the next thing. The next thing I want to talk about is this. Parents, I want you to be careful about the kind of music that your children listen to and the kind of volumes that they listen to when they are listening to music, because it affects the brain. When volume is measured in what we call decibels. When volume gets to over 70 decibels, between 70 and 120, the brain begins to slow down by 20%. Volume is very important. And I'll quote the Bible for you. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 17, it says, "The words of the wise are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that rules among fools." The words of the wise are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that rules among fools. So the Bible associates quietness with wisdom, and loudness, being loud, with foolishness. So some children may like to listen to a lot of loud music, loud environment. Quietness is very, very important to enhancing your brain. So let me share this with you. Do you know that at nightclubs, the volume is as high as 120 to 170 decibels? At nightclubs, the music is very loud. And guess what? When the volume goes high, alcohol consumption goes up. I'll say it again. When the music in clubs go high, the volume of music in clubs go high, alcohol consumption goes up. That is, people, their brain begins to relax and they begin to take irrational decisions. They begin to consume more alcohol, which means there's a function between volume and your rationality. There's a connection between volume and your rationality. So let us pay attention to that, parents and children. Loud environments may decrease your brain activity. It may decrease your brain activity. Okay, so that's it. So having said that, I will go into the next thing I want to talk about. And the next thing is the importance of fasting. The importance of fasting and what fasting does to brain activity. And let me start from the Bible. The Bible says that when we fast, our light shall break forth as the morning. Psalm 58, verse 6 to 8. Our light shall break forth as the morning. It is good for health. And I'll show you this. Parents, listen to this carefully. Children, listen to this carefully. When you are fasting, your digestive system is very relaxed. It's not doing anything. It allows blood to flow to your brain. When you are fasting, your digestive system is relaxed and it allows blood to flow to your brain. Meanwhile, when you are eating, guess what? Your digestive system is digesting the food. So the blood that should flow to your brain is trapped in your digestive system. That's why the Bible links being addicted to food to foolishness and lack of wisdom. The Bible says, "Woe are you, O land, when your princes eat in the morning." Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 16 and 17. 10 and 16. And who are you, O land, when your princes eat in the morning? The Bible says that if your God is your belly, your end will be your destruction. You will mind earthly things and your glory will be your shame. Philippians 3:19. Yes, Philippians 3:19, I guess. Yeah, Philippians 3, I think it's verse 9 or 19. I'm not sure, but either verse 9 or 19. I'm sorry, I'll get that and I'll get that sorted out. We'll come back. Okay, so that's it. Now, but I need to share something with you. I need to share something with you, parents and children. As body mass increases, brain size shrinks. As a person's body mass, is increasing, the brain size is shrinking. So if you scan the brain of an obese person, you'll find out that their brains are very tiny because as the body mass increases, the brain size shrinks. So I want to encourage us, let's begin to encourage our children to fast from a young age. Encourage your children to fast from a young age. Now, what fasting am I talking about? It doesn't have to be serious, rigorous fasting. We can start small. I always talk about starting small. And I can show you how to make fasting become very, very easy. Simple. And I'll show you these secrets. The more you drink water, the less you require of food. The more water you drink, the less you require of food. And I'll share my testimony with you. Many years ago, I couldn't fast. I couldn't do without breakfast. Today, I fast every day by the grace of God. I fast every day, intermittent fasting. But how? The Holy Spirit taught me some principles. And the first thing he said to me was that the more water you drink, the less food you require. So when I wake up in the morning, I take 1.5 liters of water every morning when I wake up. I drink 1.5 liters of water every morning when I wake up. So it makes me require less of food. Fasting is very good for your brain. Very, very good. Even if your scientists talk about it, everybody talks about it. It's very good. So drink a lot of water. Let's encourage our children to drink water in the morning. Let them drink about maybe half a liter of water, 1 liter of water, whatever. I drink 1.5 because I'm an adult. So good. Then in the afternoon, of course, I drink another 1.5 liters. In the evening, I drink another 1.5 liters. At night, I drink another 1.5. So every day, I drink like 6 liters of water every day. It's very good for your system. It keeps you hydrated. It's good for your health. You know, you don't fall sick because your system is cleansed regularly and all that. So it's very, very good. It's very, very good. Now, so if your children begin to do this, you'll see that the more they drink water, the less they require of food. That's the first thing. I want to encourage you, as from now, let your children fast at least once a week. Let them start with that. Let them start fasting once a week. Then from there, after a while, they'll take it to twice a week and all that. Once a week. Now, the next thing is this. They can start with breaking at 12. Then after that, they take it to 3 o'clock. Then after a while, after 1 year of fasting, they can take it to 6 o'clock and so on and so forth. But just make it intentional. Let it have a plan. Just make it intentional. Let's take it intentional. Yes.